The readings can be found in the middle of the bulletin you got on your way in or on the screens. The first reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learnt that the Ark of the Lord had come into camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into camp," they said. "Oh no, nothing like that has happened before. We're doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you'll be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. The second reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod arose early the next morning, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why, to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon, our God." So they called together all of the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Have the Ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath." So they moved to the Ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. As the Ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to kill us and our people." So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, "Send the Ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people." But death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy on it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven.
Well, good evening, friends. Yeah, good evening. Good to hear your voices. It's very interactive, right? You can hear each other speak. I can see you with the lights on, so you have to say hello now. Just open my iPad. Let me pray as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we have your word in front of us so that we can hear you speak, hear your plans for your people, hear how you've engaged in history. And we just ask that we might learn from this now as we read the history of your people and how you work. And we just ask that you might encourage us and grow us so we might know all the more, even better, as we read now about who you are, your character. And so we just ask that you might grow us as your people as well. Amen. Well, every good story needs an arc. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate some chuckles. Not actually the ark here in the Ark of the Covenant, but as my English teachers once told me, there are a few select narrative arcs that just about every story you hear will take, both historical stories like we see in the Bible here, but also fiction. There's a few key ones. There's the rags to riches story where, you know, you're basically any American dream sort of story that's coming out of Hollywood, that rags to riches sort of story. There's your riches to rags, the great fall, where some famous rich person ends up in difficult circumstances and they learn and they're changed and whatnot. Freytag's pyramid, I'm told, is another one, where things start bad, then get better, but then go south again. Kind of like the Titanic story. Poor boy gets a chance to meet a rich girl, but then, spoilers, it all goes south for him. There's the common Cinderella sort of story, the rise and then the fall as there's a tension, and then rise again because all works out in the end in every good Disney story. Then there's this one, the man in a hole scenario, where things seem to start positive, but then take a disastrous turn. And then by the end, there's some sort of solution. And that is the story of 1 Samuel 4-7. As Samuel, the most likely person who authored this, recorded this bit of history, we see the story flow in this sort of way. And although Ryan's only read chapters 4 and 5, we're going to look at the bigger picture of 4 through 7 because we really need to see the story as a whole if we're going to learn most helpfully from it. And so what I want us to do is take a bird's eye view across these chapters to see that narrative flow, to see the story as it's recorded in the Bible that we as God's people might learn. And ultimately, although there's so many different lessons we can learn from these passages of the Bible, the one thing I think the story teaches us that I want us to focus on is the reality that God doesn't need us, but that we need him. That's what I think we see really clearly across these four chapters. Chapter 4 begins with what might have been a glimmer of hope for Israel, but very quickly they make some mistakes and they fall into this sharp decline. And the ark falls into the hands of Israel's enemies, the Philistines. Chapter 5, the Philistines now possessing the ark, while things really do hit rock bottom of the trough for the Philistines as they're experiencing the judgment of God. Chapter 6, as things are going bad for the Philistines as they possess the ark, they think, okay, we need to return it. And so they start to send things the right sort of direction before chapter 7, the end of the story, where God's people actually return to him and confess. And that's where things get back on track. And so that's our big sort of narrative.